Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam podcast brought to you by Les Schwab Tire Centers. It'll be the best 45 minutes of your life, I promise. Doing the right thing since 1952.
Which one's Dusty?
My sports package is huge now.
Where are you at, brother?
Hornswoggled, befuddled.
I'm ready to crush your dreams in the morning.
Lighten up, Cam.
You don't even have a barn.
Would have built one just for you.
You'll love you, dog.
I love you.
It's time for Dusty and Cam.
We've got to bifurcate those two things.
Happy Monday to ya, the 2nd of September, 2019. Mr. Cleland, how are you, sir?
Doing all right.
I
feel like we're going to, I'm going to put a minimal amount of effort in this today because we're saving it for tomorrow. Just telling you right now, all seven of you that are awake with us, we're just going to put this on repeat.
Hey, everybody.
I feel like I'm going to repeat myself for the next 24 hours.
Buck, just record all of this.
Oh, yeah. Really. I mean, I kind of feel like the next 24 hours, we can already plan it. We can already know where it's going to be.
Okay. What do you want to talk about?
I don't know.
Oh, how about football?
We can talk about football. It was a very good college football. I mean, it was it was great to have college football back and active, knowing that the NFL is starting this Thursday. Knowing that you get Green Bay and Chicago.
Is that weird that we don't have the defending Super Bowl champion on the Thursday night game?
I didn't know that was part of the requirement, but no, I don't think it's weird. I think it's good to have a little bit.
It's just that's the defending Super Bowl champ has played every Thursday for the past 15 years or something like that.
I don't know that stat. Yeah. I did not know that.
Yeah, it's usually you start your season with the defending Super Bowl champ, and they're kind of breaking from that tradition.
Yeah, tradition.
In going with... a good tradition.
Yeah.
Packers-Bears.
It's a pretty good tradition.
That's a good...
solid tradition, old tradition. No matter how you looked at it this weekend, and I know we'll talk a lot about locally. I mean, certainly, there's a lot of storylines from Oregon State and their game against the those tough Cowboys. Hey, first drive was fantastic.
First drive was fantastic.
And there's a lot of storylines coming out of every game and how we learned. And then, you know, I listened to a little bit of everything. From the positives to the negatives, and we can just, we're not going to have enough time or enough energy to really dive into every single aspect of every single game, but boy, we're going to make it fun for you on a Monday. Well, I feel it. I hear my sarcasm.
We've got a lot of hours to do this entire week. We can just break down every single game in college football.
How fast do you want to move on? We got Oregon State and Oregon. How fast do you want to move on? Do you want to sit in your dirty diaper? That's going to be my theory all year. How long do you want to lament in this?
Well, I think that for Oregon State, you just want to forget about that one. That's a game that you were expected to lose, and you did lose. again, it's like Groundhog's Day all over again for both the Oregon and Oregon State programs, is that for Oregon State, your offense isn't the problem, your defense is. And it could be historically bad again.
I'm sorry. I think we should spend the whole time talking about Hugh Freeze lying in his hospital bed coaching.
Boy, that is in the notes because we do have wide right.
That is incredible. He has staph infection. What the hell was that?
What do you mean? What was that?
What was that? Guys,
a staph infection or him coaching from a hospital
bed? What the hell was that?
I don't know, man. He's a weird dude, though.
Who does that? Remember, and by the way, what hospital's like, hey, we're just going to take that ambulance and he can't sit in a chair?
No, he said that's where he feels the most comfortable is when he's inclined like that.
Oh, okay. So,
because, I mean, he almost did die.
Yeah, I know.
And he has been released from the hospital, but it was just like he couldn't stand up.
The weirdest thing.
This is the same guy, though, that faked his death to try to motivate his players at Ole Miss.
Well, isn't he the same guy that had all the...
Remember he had his own funeral during a meeting?
Did he have his own funeral? Yeah. I don't remember that one. Yeah. I just remember him getting in trouble for a lot of stuff that happened at Ole Miss.
You mean the hookers numbers?
Maybe potentially.
You mean the bags of money exchanging hands? Which angle do you want to take here on Hugh Freeze?
Oh, but God told him to show up to Liberty.
That's right. That's right. And get thumped 24-0 by Dino Babers. Yeah. And did you see the post-game coach's handshake between Dino Babers and Hugh Freeze?
Hilarious.
I did.
Dino Babers looked up into a window and just pointed
up at him. Gave him the old bro tap.
And Hugh Freeze, from the hospital bed, gave a thumbs up.
I saw somebody recut that video, and instead of Dino Babers pointing up, they did the Iowa Children's Hospital wave to Hugh Freeze.
That's going to go down as the craziest thing. I don't know if not the craziest thing I've ever seen in college sports.
Is it going to be crazier than when he takes it on the road this week?
Even better. Is he going to be in a private airplane flying just prone like that?
Is it even going to be worth it for him? He lost 24-0.
No.
I thought that was embarrassing.
No. No.
Okay, anyway, the guy's committed.
And then
lots of notes.
Oh, by the way, we have Oregon-Auburn, too.
Yeah.
Should probably talk about that. That's again, just like Oregon State, a repeat of storylines from last year. Game clock mismanagement, late game strategery, and an inability to come up with not plays, but the play to clinch a game.
Yeah.
So we'll have all of that to get to.
So much to talk about. So much to complain about. Be positive today. Be the best person you can be today.
All right. So our P1 social, Oregon Auburn, who do you blame? No, there's a million different reasons why that one, went down the pooper for the Oregon Ducks. And we'll discuss them all, because look, one thing about social media on Saturday night and Sunday, following the Oregon Auburn game, how many fingers did you see pointed in that bad boy? We saw Mario Cristobal getting a brunt of it with clock and time management, timeout management. We saw Marcus Royo again.
Are we going right into this?
No.
Oh.
This is just setting up the P1 social.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you're getting
Justin
right after
Herbert.
It. You went right after. Guns blazing.
Dropped passes.
It
was look, kind of everything, and we'll break it all down.
Everybody that's awake, please get your excuses ready. Rank them. Power rank them. Find your reasons why. And let's just start. Let's just delve into this hash, because I'm dead serious. Let's get after this right away, because you know what? That was a major, major blunder for this conference and for that organization.
Yeah, but which one?
I just said ask power rank. I just said I have my long list. I have about an hour's worth of content that I could sit here and talk about.
All right. Well, we'll get after all that. Plus, we will have our secret score in the 7 o'clock hour. Wide right, the mishaps, miscues, and blunders from the weekend in football. Case of the Monday, 7:45. We will discuss those. One in particular is travel to that Oregon Auburn game. You may have saw that there were quite a few empty seats. There is a reason why.
They did a good job on TV. I thought they did a good job of keeping the cameras, and I thought it looked pretty good. There were some spots where I think they looked like they tarped some things.
No tarps.
Oh.
No tarps.
So then ESPN did a fantastic, or ABC did a great job.
Yeah, no tarps. It was mostly full. It was mostly full, but
It's a 100,000-seat stadium. Good luck getting that many people down from Oregon to Texas.
Well,
that's a crap ton of people to make that trip.
Well, there was a lot of flights that were canceled.
Yeah, that sucks.
And from Alabama, Atlanta, and from Portland, they basically shut down Dallas-Fort Worth airport.
That's frustrating.
And so a lot of people didn't even come. And did you hear about Auburn's team plane? Did they mention that on the broadcast?
Yeah, they did mention that on the how it got delayed and how they had to do a walkthrough at what? I think they did it at the airport and didn't get in till what, midnight, 12:30?
They didn't get to their hotel till midnight and they didn't land until 11. They were supposed to land at 2 p.m. In Dallas, didn't get there till midnight. So I mean, like, adversity. If the team charter couldn't get there on time. They just said to everybody else.
I think Houston's one of the worst airports. I've never gotten through Houston or Chicago without being delayed, late, or always, always screwed up.
Well, this was Dallas.
It's Texas. Dallas. This was Dallas.
This was Dallas.
But that's even worse. Dallas-Fort Worth.
Yeah, it was
brutal. Is that the airport where you go over the big sky bridge that goes over the freeway?
Yeah, as you're taxiing.
Yeah, as you're taxiing.
Yeah, and it takes it. Honestly,
I'm sorry, that is the airport that I was thinking of. Houston is a different airport, but I was thinking of the Dallas-Fort Worth because I distinctly remember that one as you're driving over a freeway.
Yeah,
as you're taxiing over, it's a huge airport.
We got out, and we're driving out, it takes you 15 minutes of driving just to leave the airport grounds. Yeah. Like you're driving forever, and you're like, oh.
Don't you taxi for like a half hour?
Yeah.
Feels like, yeah.
Yeah, we almost missed our preview show on Friday night.
You're in the airplane trying to get to your gate.
Yeah, our flight was delayed 3 times due to a thunderstorm. And then when we finally landed, we were taxiing for 25 minutes. It was ridiculous.
We complained about the weather up here, but my gosh. Thinking about all the people in the Bahamas, all the hurricanes, Dallas, everything, the South.
Mm-hmm.
I like the story I heard about you guys barely making your show and Dirt wanting to make a little pit stop on the way there.
Yeah. Dirt wanted to go. We have a show that starts at 9 o'clock Central Time. Our flight lands at 7:30 Central Time. Okay. That's when we land.
You got an hour and a half.
We get our checked bags. Okay.
Yeah.
And then
why'd you check your bag? You're only staying a day.
We have a lot of equipment, Mr. Cleland. We were going to do a radio program.
Really?
Uh huh. And so we have
limited.
Yeah. We go and we get our stuff and we get picked up. And at this point, we've got like 40 minutes until we have our show starting, in to which we have to still drive to the air or to the station, which we are going to do our show from. We get in the car. Dirt goes, any barbecue joints on the way?
So Dirt. Can you get some 9 a.m. barbecue?
No,
can
I get some PM. It was 9 p.m.
Yeah. Can I get some greasy fingers before we get on our way?
So we found the 24-hour place after. It was great. It was fantastic. All right. Stories from Dallas. Case of the Mondays, Wide Right, and, of course, Oregon versus Auburn and a whole lot more. A lot of NFL news to get to as well. Where we start. All right, fans. You heard Mr. Cleland. You can go ahead and you can start your power rankings of the reasons why. But first...
I remember it was just like yesterday.
On this day in sports history, 1986, Bo Jackson made his major league debut for the Kansas City Royals. Look at that. Major League Baseball debut.
Oh, I got some hot Major League Baseball talk, too.
Are you talking Justin Verlander's third career no-hitter?
Look at that. No, that was one of them. That was great. Good for him. I'm happy for Justin. He's talented. He's a superstar, man. Unbelievable.
I still don't like him.
I know.
Gosh. Okay, what's your baseball stuff?
Oh, no. It just goes and it coincides with my Case of the Mondays.
Oh, okay. Case of the Mondays. Cam baseball.
Yeah.
Gonna write it down.
Yeah. And it's just baseball. It's old baseball fogey guy.
Okay.
Done. Checked out.
You're done with him.
Done with him.
Okay. All right, where we start, let's talk some college football. Ducks, Auburn. Oregon loses a tough one down in Jerry's World. Dusty and Cam on the Fan. The Oregon Ducks fall to Auburn 27-21 down in the Advocare Classic against 16 versus 11. That marked the third consecutive loss for Oregon in Cowboy Stadium. They're 0-3. Losing to LSU, Ohio State, and now Auburn in Cowboy Stadium. But it was also the mark of the 10th straight game that the Pac-12 has lost against ranked SEC teams.
Stole my tweet.
What tweet? You tweeted that out?
You're damn right I did.
Oh, it was, you know, the last, did you see which was the last game?
Yeah.
UCLA over Tennessee back in 2008. It's been over a decade since the Pac-12 has beaten a ranked SEC team. That is a little bit jarring, but the Ducks, no less, they fall 27-21. And there are plenty of opportunities to do it. Early in the game, impressive the way Oregon came out, I guess, if that's a place to start. Impressive the way they came out and kind of marched the ball down the field early in the game, and the offensive line looked like it was everything it was cracked up to be coming out of the gate.
What's your okay? So if that's is that where we're starting with this?
I mean, if we want to work this thing backwards, shall we?
I don't know. I mean, this is a Monday. Most times on Mondays, you want to start with what was good and what was bad, or what was the game?
Well,
or let's go right
good.
After. I mean, what was it?
It was good the way they come out. I mean, the story of the game is obviously how this. They came out hair on fire, build a 21-6 lead that probably should have been, could have been 28-3. Do you not drop a wide open pass and miss a chip shot field goal?
I'm going to start with this, is that you had a great opportunity to set the table not only for your program. That was a win that not only would have been significant for the entire organization, for the school, for the state, for the Pac-12, and you floundered and fell right on your face at the finish, up 21-6. I'll call it what it is. Disappointing, frustrating from top to bottom. You can take every positive spin you want. You can take everything you look. Oregon is an extremely talented football team. And if you can't use that, I can't see that with your own two eyeballs, then you're insane, because the talent from offensive line, defensive line, from every bit, from every skill position, talent abroad. I mean, just it was nuts to watch a game and see a team as gifted as that just melt down emotionally. And if you want to call out and say why and find every reason you can to blame a coach, blame a player, find it was the wide receivers. I've never in my life heard more excuses about wide receivers. That game had nothing to do with wide receivers at the finish of that game. That had one reason and one reason only. You were exhausted on defense. You got physically pushed around to the point where you brought nine guys down in the box, and Auburn still leaned on you. It was death by a thousand cuts. Physically, you wore out. That had nothing to do with wide receivers in that game. That had to do with the physical ability of being leaned on late in a game, and that's what happens when you play a big physical football team from the South.
See, and that to me is, this goes back to, it wasn't just one thing, though, and I mean, you can't boil it down to just you got leaned on down the stretch.
Absolutely, you can.
You had everything at play there, because, I mean, if you look at it, down the stretch, you need a big play. It's third down and 12, and Justin Herbert can't connect with a wide receiver. He has to check down to a 5-yard pass. Dan Orlovsky went and broke down the tape, ESPN, of ESPN, Dan Orlovsky, that is. And he said that he went back and he's counted two open wide receivers on tape in the passing game for Herbert. He said that every other pass was what they would consider covered, and all but two of his pass attempts. So you could take that and you could say, yeah, that Oregon's receivers were a small part of the problem, which led to a reliance and a leaning on their run game, and then a reliance and leaning on their defense, which got gassed. Mario Cristobal, with the three timeouts that were kind of wasted in the second half, calling a timeout on the first play of the game, for goodness sakes, is a preparation issue. Okay, you have a punter that is averaging 49 yards a punt, and on his last punt of the night, shanks it off at the left side of his foot, and it goes out of bounds for a 29-yard punt, setting him up in perfect field position. Like, it's kind of super conservative again by Marcus Arroyo in the second half play calling.
Not
it's
super
kind
conservative,
of everything.
Not just super conservative. It was that you played not to lose in the second half.
Absolutely. And from this
wide receiver narrative that it's going to be constant, it's going to be used like this, is that in that second half, if you're talking about guys not getting open, you built this organization and you built this program to win at the line of scrimmage with one of the best offensive lines in the country. And at that time, when you needed to get a first down, you called two timeouts, didn't know whether your player was eligible or not to go on the field, and then blatantly got manhandled.
inexcusable, those two
man-handled.
Timeouts.
Manhandled. And not to mention that used a timeout, and you mentioned it, used a timeout, wasted a timeout at the beginning of the game, wasted one on punt. Wasted one on punt. What were you doing? Just take the penalty, 5 yards. What's 5 yards going to matter? And then to use that twice in the second half. Preparation sometimes is it for coaches too? Absolutely it is. Are coaches perfect? No question that coaches are going to make mistakes. That's not what we're here to do that. Those things look glaring. Time management, snapping the ball with 9 seconds left, not using it, and then letting a freshman. Bo Nix looked horrible in the first half. You had him contained. You had him befuddled. You had everything. There wasn't any fear of that team at all. In the second half, you just got road graded physically. And I think the fatigue factor set in more in the second
half. That's a big one.
Than I've ever seen for Oregon. They were tired and physically got pushed around because of fatigue. Not because of whether they were talented enough. They just got worn down.
Yeah. I mean, you can sit there and you can go back to Bo Nix. He didn't look good in that first half. Heck. Before he threw that touchdown, that was a horrible throw on the first fade that they threw. Underthrown it was. Yeah. I mean, the guy made two throws all game long. A 38-yard touchdown, right, at the end as time is expiring, or 28-yard touchdown there. And then if you look at that first down pass on that third down and one, those were his two passes that were great. I mean, he had two good passes. Everything else was he had two completions on Oregon jumping off sides, and then he just rolls out and just kind of tosses it up down the sideline. Good little plays there. But he was overthrowing guys, underthrowing guys. Accuracy was an issue. He made the most important throw of the game, though, when it mattered, and it was behind his receiver, who that's their go-to guy on the outside, and he made one heck of a play for that touchdown.
You know, one of the things that drives me, we all do as football fans, and we all do as people that analyze the game after, is should have done this. Oregon should have been up 28-3. Oregon should have won this. This guy should have made this catch. This is what you do in a game of should-haves. Well, that's the thing about football, is football is made up of tons of different kinds of plays. There's no such thing as a should have, because if that was true, there'd be all sorts of kicks. There's all sorts of Super Bowl winners. There'd be all sorts of catches that actually happen. When the lights are on, the ones that make the plays are the ones that are most prepared, ready, and not just there, asking Justin Herbert in that moment to keep that ball in play, even though it was thrown out of the back of the end zone. I understand, okay, you look at that. Keeping these balls in play. Bo Nix did a great job of, in the moment, putting the ball up and gave his receiver a chance. Everybody that looked at that touchdown that Justin Herbert threw, moving to his left with unbelievable arm talent, and that's a terrible ball.
Breaks
but that
the
is
golden
a play
rule.
Yeah. That is somebody made. So for the who was it that dropped the end zone touchdown?
Brian Addison
drops the end zone touchdown, but then a freshman makes an unbelievable catch. A 6'6 freshman jumps over the top and makes an incredible catch. Cancel each other out. You get a fumble by your senior leader going in for a massive touchdown. You fumble just like what Washington did with Jake Brown. It's like, oh my God, I'm watching the same thing over again. But who saves the touchdown? Who hawks down the defensive tackle and saves the touchdown?
Brian Addison.
Absolutely. Cancels it out. Mm-hmm. So for all those that said, hey, dropped it, he saved a touchdown, cancels it out. So play by play, you could say could have, would have, should have. They just leaned on you
but
in the second half.
That was that dropped touchdown. That was the moment. Those are the momentum plays that you sit there and you go, those are swinging. When that ball, it does a ball get much better for a wide receiver where it's right there? You catch the ball with your hands. Okay. Probably catch it.
If we have to hear all year long that Justin Herbert has bad receivers again for another season of Ducks football, where we get to hear the excuse of he doesn't have any targets, it's going to be the narrative of the year if that's what you're going to use moving forward. It is going to be obscenely annoying to listen to that Justin Herbert has no targets.
Okay, but is it wrong?
You built your program with offensive line controlling the line of scrimmage. You lost that football game at the line of scrimmage.
And down the stretch, you 100% did.
Nothing to do with the wide receivers.
Something to do with them.
It's a team game. But on defense, when you have 9 guys in the box and you can't get off the field physically, you have to stop a team. Mm-hmm. Auburn, you did not stop them on defense.
Nope.
that wasn't a wide receiver, nope. Right?
No, it wasn't.
Okay, all right. I just wanted to check and make sure.
I don't think that it is something that's unfair to sit there and be like, it was an issue that reared its ugly head again for Oregon. I think that just boiling it down to one thing is my point.
Oh, I heard was wide receivers from Twitter to your post-game show talk. Wide receiver this, wide receiver that, coach this, wide receivers, wide receivers.
Well, in the post-game show, we went to everything. Everything you guys immediately under started the sun.
It's the wide receiver's fault. I'm not going to.
Whoa. That didn't happen in our post-game show.
I can play it on repeat.
But... it was the theme is that it was a team loss from head coach to coordinator to offense to defense, and to boil it down to one thing is something that in the post game to now you just can't do.
You want to boil it down. I could say anything I want.
Of meltdowns in that game. 55305, the Better You Today text line. Where did it come down for you, Dusty and Cam? Here's Buck with SportsCenter.
Down here, it's our time. It's our time down here.
Every morning at 6:30, Dusty and Cam want to hear from you.
Come out to the coast. We get together, have a few laughs.
It's time for Dusty and Cam's P1 Social.
Want me to drive?
No, I'll drive.
The time of the day where you drive the conversation.
Well, we're waiting.
Text us on the Better You Today text line at 55305 and get social with us.
This is your time.
On 1080.
Now go out there and take it.
The Fan.
All right, Oregon falls apart in the second half against Auburn. Falls to number 16. Auburn 27-21 in the Advocare Classic. What say you? Better You Today text on 55305. This text. Cristobal is a head coach. It's his job to know if a quarterback is injured and he can't come back in after that timeout. It's his job to coach these players up, and it felt like Groundhog Day versus Stanford. That one coming in, Better You Today, text line 55305. And I know a lot of fans did feel like it was, because the similarities are striking. You have a double-digit lead in the second half. Your offense goes stagnant. The opposing offense catches a rhythm. You even have a fumble when you're going in to score on a simple mesh of your zone concepts, and boom, it gets returned for a big gain the other way. It sure as heck did, but circumstances down the stretch in the final 4 minutes were different, but the result was the same. It was a loss.
4th and Inches, this text, Better You Today, 4th and Inches, and you don't sneak. And then right behind that, Better You Today text line, best offensive line allowed to be able to create holes in time for running backs and quarterbacks. So listen to this, 90 yards rushing and 90 yards, okay? All year, whole offseason, what were we told? Best offensive line in the country.
Yeah.
90 yards on the ground. Okay, 90 yards on the ground. Okay, you know when you make hay also? Third downs. 4 of 14 on third downs. Staying on the field with your offense, chewing up clock, being efficient, and intimidating them at the line of scrimmage. I'm going to beat this with a dead horse because this is what it is that if we are told that you have one of the best offensive lines in the country physically, and then you watch a team go away from what is supposed to be your strength, which is running the football, and then going to your weak point, which is supposedly quote unquote average wide receivers, you tell me, coaching or not, you tell me, style or not, intimidation or not, what is that? What is that with Coach Arroyo? What was that identity with Coach Cristobal that you wanted to establish in this game? You had it in the first half. You had them on their heels. They settled in because you chose to go away from what really your team identity is, and I don't know what it is after game one.
67 yards rushing in that first quarter.
I don't know
first
what it
quarter,
is.
First quarter, 67 yards rushing, 90 for the game.
Yeah, that stat that I saw that was kind of the most damning up to the offensive line is that for the final three quarters, they ran the ball 22 times for 26 yards.
Yeah, and I don't know about you, but C.J. Verdell, he looked different after he left with that shoulder. I think the stat was he was averaging over 7 yards a carry before that shoulder.
He got hurt. That's just, that was a big hit.
Afterwards, it was somewhere around 2 yards per carry.
Yeah.
So I was
hoping that his shoulder was okay.
And you're sitting there looking at I think Oregon has a workhorse back. And then, boom, that happens.
Yeah.
But that's football. And you have Travis Dye. It's not like you had a totally inexperienced guy who's coming in behind him who's suffering, dealing with cramps or whatever. But the reality is, the lineman should pave the way.
It really should. And this kind of jumps off the screen with you, and I want you to use your eyeball test when you watched what Oregon had talent-wise all over the place. Best quarterback, no question. Mm-hmm. Talent, speed on the edges, efficiency, great offensive line. On defense, their secondary was excellent.
Very good.
Excellent. Linebackers, defensive line, I thought was a little bit of a weak point in the second half. But here's the separation factor is that I look at is physicality of the Southern teams from the SEC, like an Auburn or anybody that is a top-end echelon team in the SEC. Physically, they are stronger than you at the finish of a game. Now, I don't know how do you want to equate that to being in better shape or do they want it more, but that type of moxie and swag that Auburn was not going to let you push them or let them tell you this game was over. They were not going to do that. And Oregon played like they were conservative, fear, uncomfortable, and not knowing what to do. That was the intimidation factor that I noticed in that second half. And I've seen it from the last three times the SEC has played a Pac-12 team. Did it to Washington in 2016. Auburn did it to them again last year. Now they did it to another Pac-12 team and intimidated the crap out of them right down the finish.
Coaching and offense, this text, coaching and an offensive coordinator. Stop playing not to lose. Get creative to get wide receivers open. Herbert obviously has not been given the green light on that one. You know, to the protection standpoint and the offensive coordinator, I found it striking how often Herbert would scan, have a pocket, and then just be like, I got nothing, and then just try and tuck it. And by the time he did that, that Auburn defense was so fast, they just seal it up. And so I thought protection was good for the most part.
Yeah, he had clean feet. He had opportunities.
Yeah, it was just scheme, Jimmy's and Joe's or X's and O's wise, whatever one it was, those guys weren't there, and Herbert had nowhere to go with it. And the Herbert not having the green, not being given the green light, I think that if there's a criticism that can be on Justin Herbert as well, Pete Thamel of Yahoo Sports wrote a really big piece on Mario Cristobal's clock management, time management, how there shouldn't have even been 9 seconds left in the game for Auburn to score.
Yeah.
And he mentioned how quickly Oregon was snapping the ball. There should be a little bit on your senior quarterback that's taking a look up there at the play clock as it's winding down, even though Mario Cristobal did fall on the sword at the end of the game and say, hey, look, we wanted to still be aggressive and not fall into that game against Stanford where they were trying to milk the clock,
That's the one thing that I don't think a lot of college teams or even football teams know how to do anymore is called four-minute offense. Four-minute offense is teams don't huddle. So first of all, they don't huddle, and when they need to, they don't know how to slow down. It's not built into their DNA. They don't know. They don't practice it. And if you don't practice a four-minute offense is not when you get conservative. It's when you physically can not only use up all the clock, because you're playing the clock at the same time. That's smart football. Smart coaches know that. Yep. You're not backing off the accelerator. You're actually choosing to be strategic. And last time I checked, football is a very strategic game. So if you have the ability to use the clock, use the strategy, and find ways to win the football game with your offensive line, which is more physical, that is a good thing to do. That's not conservative. That's called being aggressively intelligent when it comes to strategy. So if Justin Herbert is snapping with 9 and 10 seconds on that, that's on the coaching staff to not have them prepared of what a four-minute offense is.
Mm-hmm. 55305, Better You Today text line. A lot went wrong for Oregon. What was glaring to you? I got one. Dustin Cam on the Fan. All right. A lot of people, Duck fans frustrated, Beaver fans, Husky fan, Coug fans ecstatic today.
Beaver fan ecstatic?
Yeah, over the 27-21 loss by the Ducks. Because that's the game we're talking about and where it went wrong.
Oh.
This text on the Better You Today text line, 55.
I think all Pac-12 fans.
05.
Yeah, I'm not ecstatic about that.
A lot of people were taking joy in the Oregon's loss.
Shouldn't. Well, okay. You can do whatever you want. Yeah,
well,
do whatever you want.
Yeah. This one says, let's call spade a spade. Mario's not a coach. He's a recruiter. The Ducks played not to lose instead of playing to win. How do you not put the ball in the hands of your four-year starting quarterback and say, win a game for us, P1 Dustin says. Yeah. And, you know, that's it. But remember when That's what Mario Cristobal says that they were doing and why so much time was left on the clock is we were playing to win. We wanted to go down and we wanted to score and put it out there. Well, that gets criticized by some.
Well, it's not that it should be criticized, is that we're not the Big 12 here in this conference. You don't look at that and you watch last night, you get to see what Oklahoma did is that every play. And remember we were talking about, the gentleman from Oklahoma State that was talking about every play is designed. Scott Wright was on with us, said every play is designed to score. That's not yet the identity of what you're looking at from Oregon. Every play is not designed to score. Every play is to control and not only control the clock, find a way to dominate the line of scrimmage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There wasn't that.
No, and it takes, I think that there's a lot that it takes time, and to say Mario Cristobal is not a great coach,
What is great?
Winning the big game, it takes experience to do.
Absolutely.
Because Nick Saban didn't do it at Michigan State right away. Chip Kelly right away didn't do it at Oregon. They lost to Boise State, Stanford, and then got whooped in that Rose Bowl against Ohio State.
Yeah.
Big game experience is something that takes time to kind of cultivate, and this was a huge game.
Yeah.
It was a huge game for Oregon. And to say that in year two, it's going to be the ultimate indictment, I think that it is too early. But the early returns are, there haven't been a lot of big games that this team has played in. And they pulled one out against Washington. They crumbled against Stanford, and they crumbled against Auburn. Those are the three biggest stages and opportunities they've had with him as the head coach so far.
Yep. Yeah. We're watching this unfold from the off season, from recruiting to the talent to having a potential first pick overall on your roster. You got outdueled by a kid named Bo Nix.
Yep.
That looked like he was playing freeze tag in the first half and in way through the third quarter. He was just running around. Talk about no pocket presence. That kid was a high school quarterback that kind of went, I don't know what to do. He literally did not know what to do. Every time he got the snap, as soon as there was any pressure at all or any sort of pass rush, he ran away. He just ran away. And you couldn't make that. And you looked at Justin Herbert. You went, Justin, where is that big play in the second half? Yeah. Where was that play? Is it on the wide receivers? Is it on the running game? Is it on that? All those things you were waiting for in that second half. Up 21-6.
Yes.
It just 21-6
and let it just in fall control apart at the end. And momentum is a hell of a thing. And this is one of the things that you just love about football. We were talking about this in the break, is that what you love about football is it's not just X's and O's or just the players on the field. If you have far and away the five best players on the floor, you're probably going to win in basketball. If you have the dominant guys in football, it takes the coaching too. It's a hand in hand thing. And every phase of that game, offense, defense, special teams with Blake Mamone's 29-yard punt to set up the final drive to coaching, they let Oregon down. They let Oregon down in that game. And in that second half, the first half they came out, they were ready, man. And they looked good in that first half.
All I know, if I was going to take a look moving forward after week one, everybody in this conference better start cheering for Auburn and hoping Auburn turns into a monster. Because if Auburn goes again with five losses and we get to see this continuing to be the narrative of the Pac-12 as you lose to a mid-tier SEC team, Auburn is not as good as Alabama. Mm-hmm. Auburn is not as good as Georgia. If they do that and Bo Nix becomes that guy that Tim Tebow said is a gift to Gus Malzahn from God, then that is fantastic because that will do nothing but help this conference. Right now, moving forward, you're looking at Oregon. I just shake my head, man. That opportunity was such a waste.
This text, 55305, comes back to it. One of the several letdowns, it just says Herbert did not have enough quality receivers to target. You had three starting wide receivers and a tight end down for that game. I know that plays a factor, but look, the reality is those guys aren't going to be here until maybe Colorado or UW when you talk about Micah Pittman and Brennan Schooler. The word is Juwan Johnson. He suffered a setback on Thursday and a soft tissue injury for Juwan Johnson, the grad transfer from Penn State. And he's not going to be back, but he could be back for Nevada. They just felt he wasn't ready.
Yeah. Huh. That's too bad. He would have made a difference, certainly.
I think he would have.
But you want to make sure it's a long season.
And then Cam McCormick, your tight receiving threat tight end, he's still just not ready to go. They weren't ready just to green light him for that game. Does that make a difference? Sure. But does it make an exponential difference? No, because again, this goes back to the big picture of how many different phases kind of crumbled for Oregon in that second half. I think that so many of them did.
And I'm with a lot of you out there, is that this is excuses. And I see that as part of the Better You Today talking about it. We're going to find lots of reasons why they didn't, or what were the mistakes, or what were the reasons why they didn't win, and looking for Justin Herbert to have that signature win, yada, yada, yada. You don't want to get to the point or the end of the season and you look back and go, well, it was on the receiver. What if they would have caught this? What if they would have caught that? That's exactly what this season's already feeling like after game one.
That's why people love and hate sports, though, is because it's the ultimate what if.
I know it's the ultimate what if, but moving forward with this, you can't already just throw this season away.
Oh, God,
when it comes to, we have no idea what's going to happen in the next few weeks. But from this perspective, for the conference, as you're looking at it, it is as top heavy as it's ever been. When it comes to the north side, because the south just got destroyed with JT Daniels moving out. USC looked terrible. Arizona State, Utah. Huntley is average at quarterback. You were looking for Oregon and Justin Herbert to set the tone nationally.
It's a big stage for the Ducks.
And they failed.
They didn't pass that test, but there's 11 more opportunities. And as you just said, I mean, there's a lot of time left on this thing. You better hope that Auburn is good this year.
Yeah. You really got it. We all have to turn into Auburn fans here.
They play Bama, Georgia, LSU, and Texas A&M.
And I believe they're going to end up losing probably three of those games.
They play, what is it, six of the top 12 teams in the country this year?
Yeah.
They've got a very tough schedule in front of them, but Auburn showed why. And Bo Nix is going to be a good quarterback. That's something that we can get into. He had his struggles. He looked like a deer in headlights.
He looked like a freshman.
He's going to be a good one.
Yeah, I think he's got that. Yeah, I think it was a pretty cool picture. Did you see the picture of him celebrating the national championship as a little kid with his jersey on next to his dad, and then all of a sudden leads his team back to a big comeback as a true freshman? I mean, that's a great story, but your senior should still have beat him.
Yes. Yes, yes, he should.
Should have. I know. That's my favorite thing.
55305, the Better You Today text line. We'll have more of your thoughts coming up next hour. Plus, we have our secret score in the 7 o'clock hour, wide right in case of the Mondays. Dusty and Cam on the Fan. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly.